It is the 29th of January 2019, the first day of Business 123, Introduction to Investment. And the reason this thing is on is because I record all the lectures, put them up on the website. So if you miss a class, it's there. You can listen to it. Also, as we'll see when we take a look at the website, you'll see all the presentations that are for the online students. You're free to use those. Listen to them while you commute or walk the dog or exercise. Watch them on your mobile devices. They're on iTunes, YouTube, and the website. And 3C Media Solutions, which has Americans with Disabilities Act compliant closed captioning. How's that for cool? Yeah? Okay. Now, my name is Frank, as I've already introduced myself. I am the luckiest guy in the world. I get to teach what I love, what I do, and they pay me to do it. I get to torture students, and they pay me to do it. I mean, I do it for free. Don't tell them that, okay? And so I'm a stockbroker. I'm an insurance agent. I'm also involved in real estate investing. I'm working on a few other things which may or may not come to fruition. So there's plenty of room up. Oh, you got one? You got one there, Romo? I'm sorry. Okay, there's plenty of room over here. And so I live, breathe, and eat this stuff. And it's, as I said, I already mentioned, this is my favorite class to teach, the 123 class. Though I love teaching the 121 also, but this class is where we really see if you're cut out to do what is not necessarily a hard task, but it ain't easy. As Warren Buffett likes to say, investing is simple, but it ain't easy. And we'll take a look at why it's simple and why it ain't easy as we go along throughout the semester. Let's see. I've been here a million years. And I may this might be my last semester as a full-time professor because they're offering us a golden handshake. And so financially, I really should retire. But I love what I do. I love what I do. So I'm torn. I'm torn. I'll probably be commiserating throughout the semester about this. What else? Yes. Hace muchos años, yo quería aprender español. Y después 24 años, por fin puedo hablar español. Como un pato. Entonces, si ustedes tienen un poco miedo de hablar en inglés, ustedes pueden preguntarme en español, and I probably won't understand you. But there are plenty of people here who can interpret. And if you have another language, please write it down in your language. We'll use the translator. We'll get you. We'll get you there because obviously we live in one of the most diverse societies in the world. And I think it's absolutely cool. Other people are not too happy about it. On them. I love bicycles. I got a wife and a kid. Well, he's not a kid anymore. He's an adult. That's it. I love Mexico. I just spent 10 days in Puerto Vallarta, and before that, 10 days in Zihuatanejo. Yay! I was doing my work, preparing for class, on the beach, underneath the palapa with papaya licuados. And yo puedo jubilarme allí, sin duda. I could retire there without any problem whatsoever. But good, that was 3 minutes and 30 seconds. So now, that's why I'm here. I'm getting paid. So if you have any questions, please. There are some students who will never ask the professor a question. I don't know. They get a little nervous or they don't want to bother them. Please, there's plenty of room over here, sir, on this side. I can talk about this stuff far longer than any reasonable person would ever want to listen. So please do ask questions and be prepared for a lengthy answer. So that's why I'm here. Why are you here? Anybody want to volunteer? Why are you here? Mm-hmm. Anybody? If not, I got to call on somebody. Yang, yeah. Why are you here?
First of all, that is my major. I got it.
Finance?
Yeah. No.
Accounting. Okay. Well, marrying accounting with investments is a winning combination.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Yeah? Have you done any investments?
I
Not yet. Well, dear students, you do not need any prior investment knowledge, any prior investment experience. We start from the very beginning. Got enough over there? Extra? Okay. We start from the very beginning. In fact, the less experience you have, probably the better, because a lot of people learn from self-professed experts who thought they knew everything. And as soon as you hear somebody who says they know everything about investing, you realize they don't know anything. You never learn everything there is to know, because no one person could do that. There's no one. Introduction to investments?
No.
You want math?
Yeah.
Okay, you're probably way over there in the 60 building, the new math building.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably where you are. Yeah, I know. I don't know who did that, but whoever did it should be destroyed. Because this is room 221. Now they have 60-221. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They should be swacked. They should take their clothes off.
What?
He's on the right campus. They should take their clothes off and smear them with olive oil and peanut shells and just roll them around in the dirt. Because that was really horrible what they did. Okay, anybody else? Why are you here? Yes, sir. Your name again is?
Thomas.
Thomas.
Well, I just want to learn about investments and how it works and how to do it right.
We're going to do our best. Realizing that I'm just one person and I have my ideas and my strategies, and I'm going to show you as many other strategies as possible, but of course mine are right. Right. So there's a lot of different viewpoints. It's a journey, folks, and it never ends. That's the best part about it, is you just continue learning and learning. Anybody else? Yes, Matt, your name again?
Kathleen.
My
parents started a portfolio for me, and when I started working, they wanted me to start contributing on my own. So I want to know, how risky can I get? I guess investing
in... In general, the younger you are, the more risk you can take on. And you have to be careful, though, because emotions then take over. You see everything's going great. In fact, you feel like a genius. You know, look, wow, it really went up. And then all of a sudden, bang, you get hit. People will tell you, I felt it. It feels as if somebody punched you or kicked you in the gut. You feel it right here. You feel like somebody goes, bam, right in this gut. Other people say the same thing. And so you have to be prepared. And we're going to learn how to prepare emotionally for that. That's the ain't easy part, right? The intellectual part is pretty simple. We're going to show you various options. You're going to say, well, that's not a bad option. Why don't I do that? But then when the emotions kick over, and that's when we're tempted to run, and that's the worst thing to do. Unless the world does. And then it doesn't matter where your money is. It doesn't matter. Anybody over here in the cheap seat? Yes, sir. Your name again is?
Efren.
You're still young.
I don't want to work forever.
Right. It's the people in their later 40s, 50s that come back and say, why didn't you tell me this 25 years ago? I should have thought it 25 years ago. And that's why you're here, younger folks, right? You're going to see that if you're young and you have a long-term perspective, prudent, don't get too greedy, don't get too conservative, you should do well. And so please remind people that these classes are still open online and in face-to-face, so pass these around. If you want a copy, come up and ask. These are the color copies. I'll give you a black and white. So tell them that there's free beer tomorrow. Tomorrow, okay, not now. Can't bring alcohol on our campus. And then also we have an investment club on Thursdays at noon. And we try to get folks from the industry to come and talk about their experiences, talk about investment alternatives, careers and the like. So I'll remind you, of course, again and again and again. And we try our best. I often forget the computer. We try to make it teleconference so that the folks in the online classes can sit in during their lunch hour. Okay? So anybody else? Anybody else wanted to chime in? Because we're ready to get started on the most important document that you will have in this class That, of course, you will put in the back of your notebook and forget about. And that is the syllabus. Because what do you do with the syllabus? Put it in the back of your notebook and never look at it again. And then when you do something stupid, and the professor menacingly looks at you and says, "Did you read the syllabus?" And yeah, sure. Stupid. They want us to create this 8, 12, 16-page syllabus. Mine is still 2 pages. Because, as we said, most people put it in the back of their notebook and never look at it again. But there's an expanded version on the website. Because they told me I needed an expanded version. So I put it there, but I don't use it. You can use it. Let's read the syllabus. Are you still on this machine? We're still working? Yay, team. Cool. Course description objective. Introduction to basic investment principles, markets, stocks, also known as equities, bonds, also known as fixed income, debt instruments are just fixed income, fixed. Mutual funds, the legal term is investment companies. Insurance products, I'll do my best to keep you away from those. Interpretation of financial statements and other financial data and information. You accounting majors are going to have one leg up on us, the rest of us. Brokerage accounts and the relationship of economics and political conditions to investing. You know, politics, right? Poly means many, and ticks are blood-sucking insects. Okay, course content. Investment environments, risk and return. Risk and return. There's the entire semester in 3 words. Mutual funds, stocks, bonds, markets and transactions, investment strategies and tools, portfolio management and asset allocation, options and futures, contracts, stay away. And then we'll, at the end of the semester, spend a little bit of time on real estate. Real estate is an entire world unto itself. And we have classes in real estate. And then we'll do some other investment alternatives. But we're going to concentrate on the major, most important investments for most all of it. Mutual funds, stocks, and bonds. Securities, as they're called. Questions, thoughts? Anybody want to spend a lot of time on real estate? Yeah? Okay. What we can do is maybe make a couple of sessions that will not be in here, but we'll put them online or do them during the investment club or something like that. Because real estate is tricky. You know, it's very easy to start a mutual fund. It's a little bit harder, but not that hard, to start investing in stocks and bonds. It is not easy to start investing in real estate. I mean, usually most people are going to buy their own home eventually, and so you'll be invested in real estate through that vehicle. And that's a hell of a lot easier than buying an investment property. Because if you buy an investment property, you need a ton of money, unbelievable credit, a lock of hair for a DNA analysis, your firstborn, special dispensation from the Pope, a UN resolution. I mean, it's just so difficult, especially here in San Diego. Now, if you want to go over to Arizona or Las Vegas or Tijuana, it's a whole lot easier. A whole lot easier to get invested in real estate. Okay? So now, course materials. Here is just one of the various editions of the book that we don't use. We are told, and I know this is being recorded, so I could get in a lot of trouble, and I don't care, because I could retire, so screw it. We are told we have to have a textbook, a college-level textbook. This book is worth about $30, especially the first chapter. There probably will be 3 over in the library on reserve. You do not need the book. Do you understand? If you want a book, I'm going to show you on the website where you can get one for $20. 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, or the newest edition. This is the 7th, right? This is the 7th. They're all the same. It's a conspiracy. These people make a lot of money off these books. Anybody buy it yet? Nobody. Smart. Okay. It's not a bad book. Don't get me wrong. But it's not worth $300 and whatever dollars they're asking. And so one of the first things we learn in Business 121, financial planning, is don't overspend, right? It's frugal. So everything you need is on the class website. Everything you need, I'm going to give to you in the form of handouts. And then there are presentations, and there are commentaries, and there are links to many places for you to get plenty of good information. Cool? But if you want to have a book, you can get one. As I said, a used one for $20 on the website. All right. Now, what else do you need? You need a notebook. I recommend strongly that you get one of these things. And I got some extras. People throw them away, and I grab them. So if you need a notebook, and after class, everybody can run for it. Whenever you give something away for free, right? Who needs a notebook? Pass them out. This is a good one. Pass it out. Pass it out. Take one. If you want it, if you don't want it, give it to somebody else. Because, as I said, I'm going to give you copious notes. You like that word? Copious? It means a lot. Okay? I'm going to give you a lot of notes. And when people come up with these things right here, your name again is
Josie.
I'm not trying to pick on Josie, but these things, see what happens? That's what happens. And then you can't find, okay, we take out your packet for chapter one. So I do my best to remember to punch them, put a three-hole punch, and so it makes it easier for you to get organized. Because organization is one of the key factors for students to do well. You need a calculator. Folks, you do not need a fancy calculator. Please. Go out. This one was 99 cents. This was $1.47. This one's metal. That's all you need. All you need is add, subtract, multiply, and divide. You don't even need squirt. You know that button on the calculator? Squirt? I haven't figured out what it does yet. But all you need, that's the it, folks. That's all you need is add, subtract, multiply, and divide. The calculations are very straightforward. The concepts are a little trickier. You'll find in this class, sometimes you're like, what am I doing? I mean, this is an easy calculation, but what the hell am I calculating? What was that result that I got? That's going to take a little bit of time. It's going to take a little bit of time to seep in for some of you. Other people go, oh, okay, I got it. Any math majors in here? I was a math major, believe it or not. My undergrad degree is mathematics. My master's degree is MBA. I moved over to the business world when I got out of college and did certain things. Used to program. Then I worked at a brokerage firm, and that's how I got into becoming a stockbroker. I worked there for several years and said, I'd like to become a broker. And they said, sure. So don't worry. If you're worried about the math, do not be. It's all arithmetic. Math is when the numbers disappear and you start putting those stupid symbols, theta and rho and epsilon and strange things. What the hell does that mean? It looks like an E. Okay, cool? Okay, you also need dedication, organization, motivation, hard work, and jokes. Who's got a good joke? Nobody? Oh, come on. You heard the first one, didn't you? Did you hear about the alligator that walked? Some of you are going to remember. Did you hear about the alligator that walked into the bar? No? Okay, this alligator walks into the bar. You heard this one, right? No, okay. And orders a beer. And the bartender gets him his beer, and the alligator's drinking his beer. And so the bartender looks at him and says, are you having problems at home? Any troubles with the wife? And the alligator says, no. The bartender says, how about work? Boss giving you problems? The alligator says, no, everything's fine. And so the bartender looks at him and says, why the long face? He's an alligator. You may have heard it with a horse, right? Because they have long faces too. Did I warn you? Yeah, so on Thursday you're going to bring good jokes? You already have them, but you can't say it, right? Yeah, we can't. Oh, it's in Spanish. Oh, a ver. Es muy poquito or muy largo? Okay. Okay, a ver.
Oh. What
was it if I missed it?
What type of perfume
does
Superman use?
Superfume. Okay. You want good jokes. Okay. I got the banjo. All right, now attendance and lateness. Now, do miss class. Your grade depends upon it. Don't come late to lecture. I know it used to be at 8 o'clock, right? So please get here early. I show a video when the thing is working before class to get you excited and get you ready. And so it's usually funny, sometimes not. or no parking yet. Don't worry. A few weeks, especially after the first exam, you'll have plenty of parking. Okay, so don't miss class. Oh, by the way, if you miss a class and you miss the exam or whatever, you say, but I was absent that class. That's a confession, right? Guilty. As we said, barring technical difficulties, we're going to put the presentation recorded online. There are also online presentations for the online students. Now, grading. Everybody wants to get an A, right? Do you? Well, believe it or not, dear students, you can in this class. The material really isn't that hard. There's a lot of tedious material that you must learn. There's a lot of rote memorization that you've got to know it, or you can't really call yourself a securities expert. But you can do it. You can get an A. The assignments are actually, in my humble opinion, not biased, of course, but they're fun. You do what you like to do, and that's nose around on the infernal net, maybe go to the library. You've been to a library? They're really cool places. We got one. Library. You're going to go. You're going to go because it's important to go. And you can do well. So what we expect to see in college, this is what we're told, is that we have the normal curve. Lots of C's, a few F's, and a few A's, and then D's and B's. But what we find at Southwestern, I'm not the only one who sees this, is that we have something that looks more like this. We have it's called bimodal. That's a name for it. We have lots of F's and D's, and then a few C's, and then lots of B's and A's. These are the people who are motivated, come to class, do the assignments, are remotely sober when they're in class, and they do well. These are the people who maybe not come to class, maybe when they do, they're not aware of their general surroundings because they had too much fun, and then they get called away for some reason. Tio Lucas has a hangnail in Cabo San Lucas. And so you have to go and help him, right? You've heard it, right? And so what? Go ahead. There's plenty of room, sir. Come on in. Introduction to investments?
Yes.
All right. Plenty of room. And so what do the counselors tell you to do if you're failing a class? They want you to drop it, right? Because you get in trouble. So these people disappear, and we wind up with something that looks like this, but not always. I want all of you to get A's. I really do, believe it or not. If you all get A's, I will be incredibly happy, and I make a promise to you. I don't do this with every class now. If every single one of you get A's for the next 10 years, assuming I live that long, for the next 10 years, when I introduce myself, I say, hi, my name is Frank Piano, and my Business 123 Spring 2019 class all got A's. 10 years. I promise. Till, well, I don't know. Might not live that long. Is that a deal?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got to do your part. You got to study every day. Every day. Listen, watch, read, notes. I like to make notes. Other people do this highlighting thing. Oh, you need one? He needs one. Pass it back. This thing where they highlight the book. I think it's kind of useless. But hey, it's up to you. Flashcards. Because there's a lot of detail involved, especially if you plan on going into the industry, taking these securities exams. They're very detail-oriented. Not that that helps you in the industry, but you do have to know much of the stuff that we discuss. All right, now, time requirements. In general, when you have a three-unit class, that means 6 hours outside of class. So that's about an hour a day, right? Don't try to study right before the exam. It doesn't work. I mean, if you didn't do any studying, obviously it's better than nothing. But the way to learn, the studies tell us, is to review the material every single day. If you're commuting, exercising, you can listen to the presentations over again, either the ones that record or the ones for the online students. Now, combinations, if anybody knows, you know the drill. If you're at all worried about your learning abilities, go see the DSS folks. They're awesome. Some people, I had one student who said, well, it makes me feel bad when I go there. And I said, look, I have dyslexia. You know, you're not alone. There's a lot of people who have learning disabilities. And the cool thing, I learned this as I studied about it a little bit, just informally. Leonardo da Vinci had dyslexia. Is that amazing or what? And how do they know? Because he used to be able to draw with both hands simultaneously. And only people with dyslexia can do that. Is that cool? I thought it was cool. I don't know, you don't think it's cool. So, do it. Now, the academic success referral is there to help you and also to help them because they need more bodies in there. Have you been to the Academic Success Center? You used to call it the Tutoring Center. Go. Because if your study skills are at all minimal, come see me, obviously, but also you will be amazed at the other students there. Because here's the dirty little secret about teaching. We learn more than you do. If you want to learn something, teach it. And that's what the students there do. They teach each other. And that's the best way to learn. It's already been shown. You work in groups. You study together. Have a tutor. Become a tutor. You're going to excel. Cool? All right. Now, okay, instructor availability. I can get here early if you can. So if you want to meet at 7:30, 8 o'clock, you know, make an appointment. But right after this class, I have another class. Anybody in the 121 class also? So you're going to hear the same jokes. My apologies. Then we have the office, the college hour. And sometimes I have a meeting, sometimes I don't. When I don't, I'll be happy to meet with you. But then at 1 o'clock, I have an office hour. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, 2 o'clock on Thursdays. But I'll make an appointment with you. Tuesday and Thursday nights, you can contact me via a system like Skype. It's like Skype, but it's not Skype. It's better. So we can teleconference. I might be in my jammies ready for bed. But that's for the online students. But that doesn't mean you can't show up, right? And, of course, we can make a it's called Zoom. I call it the virtual office. I don't know. That's what I call it. Now, student learning outcomes, you can ignore them. Those are for the folks in Sacramento. But you see how to get in touch with me? I give you my home phone number. You can leave a message. I give you my email. That's the preferred way people get in touch with me. And then there's my website. Can you remember Wonder Bread? Can you remember Wonder Woman? Nod your head yes. Can you remember Wonder Professor? WonderProfessor.com. See, they used to give us this faculty website, which was ridiculous. College website /tilde, then your first initial, your last name. A lot of people couldn't find the tilde on the keyboard. It's that little squiggle, you know, the N-Y. And then my last name has three vowels in a row. Forget it. So they come up to me and say, oh, I think your website's down. Like, no, you can't find it. So I spared no expense. I spent $14. That's how much it cost me to register wonderprofessor.com. And I spent days trying to figure out a website that wasn't already taken that people could remember. I can remember that. Please don't forget me. This is for you. Forget it. They're all taken. So I'm trying to think, well, what can I find? So I figured I'll piggyback on Wonder Bread and Wonder Professor. So what's the website? Everyone should say Wonder Professor. You may think I'm crazy. You may be right. But when you answer me verbally, you change different parts of your brain and you learn better. So what's the website?
Wonder.
Right. Wonder. Not Professor Wonder. He's a balloon magician. So believe it or not, he's there. Okay. So there's my website. Ta-da! And then he rebooted the machine, so this thing does this weird thing. Go away. Go away. Go away. It takes three tries to get rid of it. Turn it off. Whose idea was to put that on? I don't know. So there's the website. There's my better side. And there's my bitchin' bicycle with a stereo. Have you checked? Oh, it's a bicycle with a bitchin' stereo. Have you checked out ratemyprofessors.com? You know, I didn't want to look. When I first, it was like, oh, I said, no, I don't want to look. And then my office mate said, go look, they like you. Okay, fine. And here's a few resources if you don't have Microsoft Office or some Office specials. But here, this is what you're interested in. Business 121 or Business 123. These are the quick links. And I got some stuff on here that's old and sometimes it's new and I play around with it. But that's not important. This is what you're interested in. Introduction to Investments, Spring 2019. So you can bookmark that if you want. And a lot of this stuff is for the online students. So, for example, all this is talked about the documents. Most all the documents online that we print out are in what's called Google Docs, which is absolutely awesome. I like it a whole lot better than Microsoft Office. So you decide. But you can, of course, download it into Weird or Excel. Or whatever. The cool thing about this is free. It is easy to share documents. Yes, I have a question. And then here's some other stuff. And this is what you're interested in. Textbook information at the bottom of the page. Okay, here's the textbook information. Notice that you could use any of these editions. 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. This is going to cost you $300. This is going to cost you maybe $100, $20, $10, $10, $5. And they're all basically the same. You know, they've been updated every couple of years, whether they need to or not. And so if you have to have a book, there you go. Get one for $10. Now, notice that everything, look at this. I know it looks like a sip from the fire hose. Here are the announcements for the online students. But, of course, you can watch them also if you get behind. And if you ever worry about when the next exam is, where is it? Where's the next exam? WonderProfessor.com. Where's the next exam? Okay, so it's tentative, you know, because we never know if we're going to get through everything, and we're more interested in learning it than we are, you know, than just making sure we get to the exam on that day. But notice that everything we have in this class, everything I give you virtually, hello, is it working? I think it is. Oh, dear. I had this. Why did he reboot the machine? He had to reboot the machine. Oh, shoot. Hope he didn't mess things up. We need that presentation. Here's the presentation we're going to do right now. Desktop, save, open up. Nope, it's not working. Hopefully, Infernal Net. Oh, dear. Oh, there it worked. Okay, that worked. Why didn't the other thing work? Okay, there's the presentation. That's what you would have seen if he hadn't been screwing around with it. So let's go take a look at... Okay, let's stop. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. There it is. Okay, so there's the handout I just gave you, right? The syllabus. If you're missing something, you lose something, everything we do is up here. Are you with me? Cool? It will be here before we use it in class. And you can now download as. You can't edit this. And what students do is they send me as a way to do this, send a request. Yeah, allow me to edit. No. It's mine. Okay. You can download as a Weird document or a LibreOffice or OpenOffice or PDF. Or, this is very cool. Wait a minute, it's not letting me do it. Because I'm not signed in. If you sign in with your Google account, I could sign in with another Google account. Like if I signed in with the Google account I used to create this, it'll let me edit it. But you can make a copy and then work on it. Google gives you, 15 gigabytes or something like that, which is cool. Are you with me? So, are you excited? Cool. Glad to hear it. All right. So now let's go back to... Oh, here we are. That's the first page, which you can put in the back of your notebook and never look again. But I hope you won't, because the second page... See what's there? This is our course schedule. And we follow it fairly closely, the best of my abilities. If we get behind, that's fine, because there's a few things at the end that we can jettison. I can just warn you, never get involved in options. Never get involved in futures. Because they're dangerous. But we will go over the most important concepts and techniques and tools. All right, so that's the syllabus, which you can quickly put in the back of your notebook and never look at again. But let's get started on our presentation. And the packet I gave you, the next page, you did it. If you go to the next page, which will be labeled number 3, that's the study guide. And so you're going to want to study the study guide, okay? All the terms on there are fair game, unless I put something that says, oh, forget about this, like geometric. The book teaches you about geometric averages. We're not interested in geometric averages. We're annual average return. That's the one that everybody wants, the arithmetic average. That's the one everybody uses. That's what we're going to use. And then there'll be handouts that we'll work with, worksheets, and assignments and the like, so you'll see. But we start, some of you have already seen this, right? So we start with a perspective. It is a gloomy moment in history. Never has the future seemed so dark and incalculable. The United States is beset with racial, industrial, and commercial chaos drifting we know not where. Of our troubles, no one can see the end. Did you see this on Skunk News last night? Weasel News? Badger News. You know what Sean Hatery?
Oh, Fox News.
Fox News! Fox News! Did you watch Fox News last night where they said the end of the world is coming because we had Obama the Antichrist as the president, but now we have a hero who will save us from the hordes of Tijuanaeses who are beating at the gates. When do you think this was Fox Noise? I like that. I like Fox Noise. When do you think this was written? Yeah, a lot of people will say before, during the Depression, after World War I, during World War II. Some people might say, you know, after 9/11. I'm sorry? 2008, when we were looking at the abyss, folks. We were looking down at the abyss, and the economy was not in a good shape. And no, it was actually 1847. Harper's Magazine, which was a very influential magazine at the time. What was going on in the 1840s? Not yet. Mexican War is just about to start. The Civil War was brewing. The southern states and the northern states were starting to argue about what kind of country we want. Do we really want a country that has the peculiar institution? Don't call it slavery. Call it the peculiar institution at its basis for an economic model. And eventually the country was about to tear itself apart. Did they have serious issues in the 1840s? Oh, yeah. Wait till I ask you. Did they have serious issues in the 1840s? Do we have serious issues now? No. Oh, yeah, we do. We could die in our own waste pretty soon. Or blow ourselves up. You know. Or tsunami, meteorite, the earthquake, Ebola. Disco could return. You laugh, but you weren't around for it. You weren't around during the 1970s. And, however, dear students, the last 200 years have been the most prosperous years in the history of the world. The last 20, 30 years have been the most prosperous years in the history of the world. I firmly believe, assuming we don't blow ourselves up, die in our own waste, disco returning. The next 20, 30 years are going to be even better. Why? Because of what's happening globally. Globalization. Which is a bad word now. But tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people around the world are coming out of poverty for the first time. And what does that mean? What happens when you now have money in your pocket? You're now not making a dollar a day to survive. What do you want? Stuff! What kind of stuff? Good stuff. Toothpaste. Diapers. Yogurt. Fresh, clean water. Bicycles. Cell phones. Televisions. Disney. Marlboro cigarettes. Jack Daniels. Yeah. And so this is very cool. A higher standard of living for everybody. And as investors, you are participating in this, whether you get in the industry or not. When you invest in companies that are providing the goods and services that we all use to live, you're participating. Now, you're not doing it for altruistic reasons. You know what? That's a fancy word, meaning you're thinking about everybody. You're thinking about yourself. You want to make money. But the system, it might be the absolute worst system ever devised. Worst economic system, capitalism, except for all the others. What's going on in Venezuela these days? So you ready? Excited?
Yeah.
I am. And I'm going to kick out soon, you know. I'm going to be here for about 30, I'm late, hopefully 30 years. But I'm really excited about what's coming down the pike. Do you realize what your generation, you mostly your millennials, right? They're called the millennials, whatever you want to call yourself. But do you realize the technological changes that we've gone through over the last 40, 50 years? It's astounding. It's very similar to what happened 100 years ago when they first saw the first flying machines and horseless carriages. Pretty soon, you taking any foreign languages? Yeah? Don't bother. No, in 5 years, you put the device in your ear. I don't know if it's hooked to your cell phone or maybe it's autonomous. And it will automatically determine what language that person is speaking and translate it instantly. So all the professors over in languages, they're in deep trouble. I'm in deep trouble. Oh, it's going bold. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Let's get started. Because this first chapter, what we've done is we've cobbled together a few things. I like to call it the overview of the investment universe. And then we steal and do, because they do a very good job in chapter one of the book, a brief history of risk and return. And then very quickly we'll go through short-term investments, get them out of the way, because they're not that important, except if you need the money in the short term, and they're not that difficult. So what I've tried to do here is to create what I believe should be the contents of the first chapter of an introduction to investments textbook. If I were going to write an introduction to investments textbook, which I ain't going to do. This guy said it perfectly. In investing money, the amount of interest, now I wouldn't have used the word interest, I would have used reward or return, investment return. But he used the word interest. In investing money, the amount of interest you want should depend on whether you want to eat well or sleep well. Is that cool or what? If you want to eat well, if you want to make a lot of money, oh well. There's going to be times when you're going to be in the bed thinking, oh, I don't know what to do, what do I do, it's all night. If you want to sleep well, are you going to make a lot of money? Everyone should say no. Wait till I ask you. If you want to sleep well, are you going to make a lot of money?
No.
But we're going to learn techniques that will help us to reasonably eat well and reasonably sleep well. But nothing's perfect, right? That's the eternal struggle, risk versus return. So we start with a very basic question. What is an investment? And I know some of you are going to start writing it, scribbling it down. And that's fine. Go right ahead. Don't let me stop you. But remember, it's all online. You can bring it down to Putrid Point or PowerPointless. What's it called? I forget. I'm sorry?
PDF.
You can download them as PDF, but first you've got to bring them down as a presentation file. I didn't make a PDF out of them. But you have to bring them down as a presentation file, which means PowerPoint or Google Docs or OpenOffice or LibreOffice. And then you can turn them into a PDF. You can copy it and paste it into your word processor, make flashcards or whatever. But an investment is any vehicle, instrument sometimes we use, into which resources can be placed with the expectation that they will generate positive income, sometimes called cash flow, or that its value will be preserved, sometimes you hear people say store of value, or increased, or both. And we're going to come back to this definition by Mr. Benjamin Graham often. This was Warren Buffett's teacher. This one. He was Warren Buffett's teacher. He passed away in 1975. But he wrote the definitive book, which you're eventually going to read. Don't read it, your first book. But he says, an investment operation is one which, upon thorough analysis, not somebody just saying, hey, buy this, okay, promises safety of principal and a satisfactory return. Operations not meeting these requirements are speculative. Speculative. What's that word speculative mean? gambling. In the industry, you're going to hear people say, oh, this investment is very speculative. And you know what they mean? Gambling, right? So whenever you hear the word speculative, you just replace it with gambling. And if you really do like going to Las Vegas or going to Caliente and pulling the, you know, pulling the one-armed bandits, then you're probably going to like speculative investment. Doesn't mean you're going to make a lot of money. Maybe you will. You probably won't. And investment returns, investment rewards come in various different flavors. But in general, there are two different things. Income, interest, dividends, rent, and increased value or decreased value. And we usually use the term capital gains. Sometimes you might hear capital appreciation. Capital appreciation? I know it's early, but this is exciting, right? Capital losses? Yeah, okay. So as we said, investments come in all shapes, flavors, and sizes. And so what we're going to do now over the next 8 or 9 slides is we're going to give various characteristics that you're going to want to study and be able to associate with various alternatives. But again, we're at the overview of investment universe. We're looking at it from very far away. So what are the three types of investments that we will discuss? Well, we won't discuss all three, though. But, today we will. Securities, which is an unfortunate term. Property, sometimes called hard assets. Or real assets. What a silly name is that, real, to put imaginary. And then personal. Let's get the personal over with quickly. Personal is often the absolute best investment you can make. It's an investment in yourself. Travel, education. College is often the best investment anybody ever makes. Why? Why is college the best investment of often people? Yes, that friend. It makes you more marketable. In general, it's not always the case. But after you have a college degree, your income increases. Yeah? What else does college do for you? This is what we're supposed to do.
It helps you make connections.
Make good connections, especially if you go to one of the Ivy League schools. Yes, way do we get to mutual fund managers and other types of managers, and people say, well, how do I get a job like that? You've got to go to one of the really good schools, and don't tell them you went to Southwestern. Okay. What else? Have you heard about making a well-rounded individual, a good citizen? We sort of gave up on that when people wanted jobs, right? But that was originally what college was meant to do. It was, as education is meant to do, to make you a better person, which is, I don't know what it means to be better, but a more aware about, you know, here's your little world, and you get to expand your little world and realize, oh, my goodness, the world is a lot more complicated than I ever thought. But we're going to concentrate on what are called securities. A better term for people are financial investments, because what people say is, I'm not an administration of justice major. Why would I take a securities class? No, not that type of security. This security is an investment that represents debt or ownership. Either you lend or you own, or the legal right to acquire or sell an ownership interest. What? These are called derivatives that we'll deal with, and we'll do our best to keep you away from them. But in other words, it's a financial investment. As opposed to property, which is real. Why is it called real? Real estate, real property, real assets. Anybody know? Any lawyers, folks, anybody?
Because it's a tangible asset.
Well, it's attached to the ground. Yeah, it's a tangible asset. That anything that's attached to the ground or ground is called real property. Now, the others, like precious metals, autos, these are tangible assets too, but they are not attached to the ground. So my apologies if I got you down there. My apologies. So you might hear people say hard assets, tangible assets. once you're in the industry, we use the term commodities. Pork bellies. Anybody see that old movie? No, not for me. Trading Places, where they were arguing over pork bellies. Yeah, that's a commodity. And you can invest in those. Well, I shouldn't use the word invest. Speculate. And we'll learn about that way at the end of this class. Cool? This class concentrates on securities. Now, we then lump, so these are all, they all sort of intermingle, so be careful. They're all basically labels that we give different types of investments. Primary versus derivatives. And this is what we were just talking about. Derivatives are securities that derive their value from an underlying security or asset. They're not the asset. No, they point to something else. Normally, highly speculative. What does speculative mean? Gambling. I should say gambling. Normally, highly speculative? Gambling. Right. And you might have heard of options and futures. These are just two of the examples of derivatives. There are many, many more. But these are the ones you're going to hear the most of. And actually, the term is options contracts. Try saying that three times fast. Or futures contracts. So people just drop the term contract and you hear options and futures. It's gambling. And you can make a lot of money, folks, and then lose it all the next day. What good is that? Whereas these are the two we're going to spend most of our time on. Debt versus equity. Debt is a loan, equity is ownership. And that's what those terms mean. When you invest in debt, you're used to taking out a loan. To you, that's an obligation to pay. But to the individual or the company or the entity that lent you that money, that's an asset. That's their investment. That's why when you grow up, you want to be a bank. You with me? Because all those credit card debts, they're assets on the bank's balance sheet. Are you with me? You want to be a bank when you grow up. And then savings accounts and like, we'll deal with those one day and get over with. And then ownership. Stocks, which are basically a fancy word for companies, corporations. Partnerships, sole proprietorships. Anybody taking Business 120? You learned about business structures and the like. When you take business, introduction to business, you learn about this. Real estate investment, trusts, those are all equity investments. Then you can either directly invest in the investment or you can be an indirect investor. And what does that mean? The direct investor is somebody who's in charge. They decide what they're going to buy. They decide what they're going to sell. When you buy a property, your name is on the title. You can sell it. You can mortgage it. You go to the county office building or the city hall or whatever, and it's a public record. Your name's on that title. When you buy a stock or a bond, your name is on the stock. Well, now it's all electronic now, but it's in a brokerage firm somewhere, electronic, and you're in charge. Whereas other investments, such as mutual funds, real estate investment trusts, limited partnerships, someone else is in control of the investment. You have limited control, or more likely no control, over the underlying investment. You can call them up and say, hey, I think we ought to buy this. And they'll go, thank you very much. So, yes, you can sell or buy or sell your shares in the mutual fund, in the real estate investment trust or limited partnership, but you do not control what they invest in. Does that make sense? If anything doesn't make sense, just go like this. Because I sometimes sit up here and talk for 45 minutes and nobody understands a word he said, but we all have fun playing with the pencils on our desks. Okay, next. Domestic versus international versus global. Wait a minute, Piano. What's the difference between international and global? It's a subtle difference that you need to know. Domestic's easy. That means it's based in the United States, right? Domestic. International means it's based outside the United States. Sometimes you'll hear people use the term foreign. Sometimes you'll see overseas. These are companies that are based outside the United States. Whereas global is todo el mundo. Sometimes you'll hear or see people use world or worldwide. And that means outside the United States and inside the United States. So you have to be careful about this, because you choose an international mutual fund thinking you're getting all global exposure, and you're missing out on a very large part of the world's population, the United States. The world is a very small place these days economically. 65% by value of the parts of the Ford Mustang come from the United States and Canada. 90% of the parts in the Toyota Sienna, which is built in Indiana, by the way, come from the U.S. and Canada. What's the more American car? How can you get more American than a Ford Mustang? Buy a Toyota Sienna. Are you with me? In fact, many people they don't realize these companies are foreign or global anymore. Look at all these companies. Take a look at them. I'm sure some of you can figure out which ones are domestic and which ones are foreign, right? Some of them are a little bit, you're not quite sure. Yeah? How about Budweiser, Mother Bud?
Foreign.
They were bought by, what the hell is it called? Oh, darn it. It's a Belgian-Brazilian conglomerate called InBev. And what do they make? You make drinks that you all recognize. But now it's a global company, right? Even though it's based outside the United States. How about Shell Oil? Yeah, Royal Dutch Petroleum. It's a company that's been called it's a corporation that's been called a country unto itself. They basically own Nigeria, right? They're global. What?
They own Nigeria.
Pretty much. Ben and Jerry's. Not anymore. Unilever bought them. How about Farmers Insurance? They're now owned by a Swiss company. How about ARCO? British Petroleum. How about Gerber? Carnation? Cup of Soup? How about Fox Network? Come on! If you don't watch Fox Network, you're not an American! You are a communist! A liberal! It's based in Australia. Seagram's, Canada, Bayer, Germany, Vaseline, the UK, Friskies, France, Trader Joe's.
No way.
Germany. Have you ever heard of Aldi? Have you seen Aldi?
Yeah.
That's the company that bought Trader Joe's. Mr. Joe, he's gone. He's long gone. How about 7-Eleven? Not anymore. This is a tremendous case study. 7-Eleven in the late 80s, I think it was, they moved over to Japan, and they created a Japanese corporation, 7-Eleven in Japan. And it turns out the Japanese love small shops. And so in Japan, in 7-Eleven, that's like your grocery store. They've got everything. I don't know how they fit it in there, but they do. And they got so big, they turned around and bought the United States 7-Eleven. And now, I don't know if you've been in Mexico, where every corner there's an Oxxo. You now see 7-Elevens in Mexico now. How about Volvo and Saab? Well, not anymore. Not anymore. For two decades, Volvo was owned by Ford and Saab was owned by GM until the Great Recession, in which case they sold them off. Now Volvo is Chinese, and Saab is owned by some very small company in the Netherlands. In fact, there's a company, a very large company, based in the United States that doesn't sell a single product in the United States. It's called Philip Morris International. They make the Marlboros that are sold outside the United States. So how do you categorize them? They're based here in the United States, and they sell all their products outside the United States. Where is Coca-Cola based? Anybody know? Atlanta, yeah. 80% of their revenue, 80% of their sales are outside the United States. So even if every single United Stater decided, no mas Coca-Cola, I'm not going to drink any more Coca-Cola, it would still be a huge corporation. So the world is global. And this is what Pinche Trump doesn't understand. He just doesn't understand that.
Amongst many other things.
But he thinks unless everything is made here, then we're losing out. You know, the world is global. And the younger folks seem to be more comfortable with this. Or you talk with old folks, my sister-in-law, who just thinks, oh, the 1950s were the only good time the United States had. Right. Sure, but, sure, yeah. She immediately forgets about all the problems then. So, are you ready to join the global society and be an elite? A liberal? Speaking of which, here are the top 18 countries by gross domestic product per person. Not by gross domestic product, obviously. In alphabetical order. Which country do you think had the best average annual return over the past 40 years?
China.
Well, China's not up there because their gross domestic product per person is still pretty low. They're the second largest economy. Next year they'll be the, or 2 years from now, they'll be the largest economy because they have four times as many people as we do. And eventually, India will surpass them. Yes, which... Who had the best? Yeah, on their investments, right. In the stock market. Which one did the best? Sweden. Sweden! Netherlands! Denmark! They're socialists! They have universal health care! And they pay their students to go to college. Damn communists. What's wrong with Japan and Italy? What's going on in Spain? Have you been there? Let anybody travel? They're losing people. Their population is shrinking. Japan and Italy are trying to get women to have babies and they're saying, nee. And where's the U.S.? Not bad, considering how large we are. How much bigger can we get? Well, we'll see. But, you know, we'll come back to this guy. But it turns out that our thought processes don't often take into account demographics. And that's why you hear people like Tim J. Trump so worried about China. But if you look at it in a per-person basis, they're not much larger than Mexico in terms of per person. So they still have a long way to go. I think this is good news. Because what happens in Mexico and in China and the Philippines and Peru and in Eastern Europe when they have more money in their pocket? They want Nike shoes. They want to watch Star Wars. They want McDonald's. You guys are going to hear this in the 121 class. Are you worried about China and India and all those other foreigners taking over? Don't be. Our agents are spanning the globe now. And in 10, 15 years, we're going to bring them to their knees. Who are those agents? Kentucky Fried Rat, Pizza Crab, McDonald's, McMurderers. Because it turns out that throughout Latin America and Asia and Africa, they have the starvation gene, which Caucasians, Indo-Europeans, don't have. And the starvation gene is a wonderful thing when you're starving. It helps you survive. But when you have plenty of food, especially greasy food and sugars, refined sugars and the like, it's not a good thing. Because in 10, 15 years, you take somebody out of the fields, put them in front of a computer, feed them Kentucky Fried Rat and soda and give them cigarettes, and in 10, 15 years he has diabetes. And then we'll sell him the diabetes drug. We're all in this together, dear students. Okay, enough said. Short term, intermediate term, long term. Before we make any other distinction when we make a choice about our investments, we have to decide whether it's short term, intermediate term, or long term. And that is what drives our choices. This is what the general guidelines in the industry are. Up to a year or so, 2 to 5 years, 5 or more years is considered long term. I take a little more, a little longer, because depending on the goal, you might think of a short term as 1, 2, or even 3 years. If you're looking to, you know, use this money for the next few years, that's got to be in short term, guaranteed, safe investments. Intermediate term, 5, 6, 7 years, and then I like to think of 10, 20, 30 years longer for long term. And we'll come back to this when we take a look at the different investments. And then, is your investment liquid or is your investment illiquid? Now, what does this mean? How much beer we have for the weekend? No, liquid investments are investments that are quickly, easily converted into cash. There's a ready market to purchase your investment. Change of ownership happens quickly. Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, REITs. You go online, call your broker, boom, it's gone. There's your cash. Whereas real estate is the poster child. Illiquid investments are often difficult to convert into cash. The market is small. Collectibles, Beanie Babies, whatever. There's a real big market now in shoes, right? Collectibles, really. These are $500, $600 shoes?
Thousands.
Thousands? Stupid. Or, in the case of real estate, ownership changes slowly. You have a property to sell, it's going to take you 2, 3, 6 months to sell it, get your money. Cool? And now, risk versus return. We will spend an entire session on this, folks, so don't worry about copying everything down. But the typical definition of risk is, you know, the possibility of suffering harm or loss. And you can't measure it. It's just, we cannot measure it. But what we're going to find is the higher the risk, the more we should expect to receive from our investment. And so these are my guidelines. The book is a little bit more generous. I think low risk is anywhere from, actually, we should probably change it to 2 to 4%. 5 to 8%, not nowadays, and then 8 to 12. I tell people 8, 9, 10%. 8, 9, 10%. Certainly anything. You get 12%, forget it. I mean, there are people who are doing it. Don't get me wrong, but it's very, very risky. So we'll come back to this. Don't bother to write everything down. Okay, so how much? We got good time. All right, good. So now that we have all these terms here, now we're going to take a look at some investments that you may or may not understand yet. Don't worry, because on Thursday, we're going to go through the investment universe. What's a Bank of America passbook savings? What is a passbook? Some of the credit unions still give out, especially to the kids. They give out this passbook. It looks like a passport. And they stamp it. Not too many. It's mostly all electronic. They'll print out a copy if you need it. But so what is a Bank of America passbook savings account? Is it a security, a financial investment, or is it a property, a hard asset or a real asset? That's a security. Yeah. Is it debt or is it equity? It's debt. Huh? You are lending your money to Bank of America. And so on Bank of America's accounting books, that savings account is something that they have to pay back to you. See, that's an obligation that they have to pay back to you. See, that's why banks, everything's backwards. When you get into the banking, anybody in the banking world, credit union folks? We got some folks on their online classes who are working in credit unions. Everything is backwards. What you think is, oh, no, that's our asset. No, that's our debt. So you're lending your money to them. Is it direct or indirect?
Direct.
Yeah, your name's on the account. Is it domestic or foreign? Yeah, they're still based in the United States. How about short-term, intermediate-term, or long-term? Well, some people treat them as intermediate and long-term. But what we're going to find is that savings accounts and the likes are better to be treated as short-term. They're better to be treated as money that you're going to need, maybe in the case of an emergency, 6 months, a year, because they don't pay very well. And if you have 3, 5, 10 years, it's not the best place to put your money. There's a tremendous what's called opportunity cost. How about low, moderate, or high risk? Very low. In fact, it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Is it liquid or illiquid? very liquid. You can get your money right away. They'll write you a check. If you ask for the cash, they might ask you to come back tomorrow because they don't keep that much cash in the banks, believe it or not. If you go in there and say, I want my $70,000 in cash, they'll say, can you come back tomorrow? And then they'll call up and say, well, this guy wants $70,000 in cash, and so we'll have it delivered, and they'll call the FBI because that's a suspicious transaction. Now, if you want a cashier's check, no problem. We'll charge you $5, maybe not. But if you ask for it in cash, that's a suspicious to pay Patriot Act. Anybody get burnt? Yeah, be careful. Okay. How about Nestle's? Is it security or property?
Security.
It's a financial investment. It's security. Is it debt or equity? Come on, somebody, you don't have to be right. Is it debt or equity? Equity. It's equity. It's ownership. You're owning part of Nestle's. Is it direct or indirect? Your name's on the brokerage account where you own the shares. Domestic or foreign? Yes. Again, another company, which is basically a country unto itself. Short-term, intermediate-term, or long-term? In general, stock should be considered long-term, but Nestle, you could consider an intermediate because it's such a big company. It ain't going anywhere. How about low, moderate, or high risk? In general, we consider stocks as high risk, but again, Nestle, moderate. Liquid or illiquid? Very liquid. Somebody wants to buy your 100 shares of Nestle. Don't worry, it ain't going anywhere. How about Southwestern College Propositions AA and R bonds? You know what I'm talking about? How did we build that stadium and that wellness center? Did we have a bake sale? Did we employees say, hey, we don't need to be paid. Here, you go and buy it. You know, go on and spend tens of millions of dollars on that. No, we had to borrow the money. And so we sold bonds. We sold loans. Huh?
Corporate bonds.
These are municipal. There are corporate bonds, municipal bonds, and then treasuries, government bonds. We're a municipality. So we...
How do you get into municipal? I'm into corporate, but I've never heard of
this. Well, it's a state or local government. It's a school district or a water authority or a bridge authority or the city of Chula Vista or the state of California issues loans, bonds, and then investors say, okay, what am I going to get? I'm going to get interest, and they promise to repay the money. So, cool. So, are they security or property? You're getting frightened, aren't you? If it's a financial investment, it's a security. Is it debt or equity? It's debt. You own a loan. I know it's tricky, but you own the loan. They have to pay you back. They're going to pay you interest, and they're going to promise to repay. We're going to pay. Don't worry. Southwestern will pay its debts. Where did the money come from, by the way? Property taxes. Direct or indirect? Is your name on the bond? Yes. And it used to be documents, but not anymore. It's all electronic. Domestic or foreign? Well, some people call it Tijuana Tech. But there is a Instituto Tecnológico de Tijuana. Okay. Short-term, intermediate-term, or long-term? Well, they're so safe that you could consider. You probably wouldn't want to buy them for the short-term. But intermediate-term or long-term, many people buy bonds and they just hold them for the interest. Is it low, moderate, or high risk? Fairly low. If all of a sudden we go through another great recession and people stop paying their property taxes, stop paying their mortgages, then it might be high risk again. But well, hopefully not. Liquid or illiquid? Very liquid. Yeah, somebody will buy your bonds from you. Especially when we have a good credit rating, by the way. Okay, what about a duplex in Spring Valley where you rent one and live in the other? Is that security or property?
Property.
That's property, right? Is it debt or equity? You own it. Direct or indirect? Your name's on the document. Your name's, well, it's not a document, it's all electronic now, but yeah, you go down to the county court, county admin building, look up the record for that, your name will be there. Domestic? Yeah. Short term. Oh, did you hear that one? I thought it was cute. I forget who it was, but you know about the wall. Mexico's going to pay for the wall, and I forget it was one of. I think it was Fox who said, "Yes, we will do that on one condition." What did he say? If you redraw the boundaries before the Mexican-American War, we'll be happy to pay for the wall. Okay, so. Short-term, intermediate, what are we talking about? Short-term, intermediate, long-term for real estate?
Long-term.
you should consider real estate long-term investment, in my humble opinion. Low, moderate, or high risk? I would consider it fairly low, but yeah, real estate, you never know. Real estate is tricky. But it's not as though San Diego is becoming less desirable to live in, right? Now, if we go through another great recession where people stop paying all their... That could be bad. Liquid or illiquid? Yes, real estate is the archetypal illiquid investment. It's going to take you 3 months, 6 months maybe, sometimes sooner, sometimes later, to sell it. Now, what about Qualcomm? And it's supposed to be all the uppercase, but I can't stand it when it's printed no up. What is Qualcomm? It's a security. It's a corporation. What do they make?
Chipsets.
Yeah, they don't even build the chips, but they make chipsets, and they were the ones who designed the system that if you have a Verizon phone or a Sprint phone, your cell phone uses, called CDMA, which stands for can't do much of anything. No, code division multiple access, and that's what Qualcomm does. Are they security or property?
Security.
They're stock. Security. Debt or equity? Equity. Direct or indirect? Your name's on the brokerage account. Domestic or foreign? They're domestic, but where do they make most of their money?
Foreign.
Outside the United States. Short-term, intermediate-term, or long-term?
Foreign.
Stocks are long-term. Low, moderate, or high risk?
High.
Tech is pretty high. And then liquid or illiquid?
Liquid.
Very liquid. Somebody's going to buy your shares. Last one. Loan to Uncle Harry. Every family has an Uncle Harry, right? What is it? Security, not very secure. Debt or equity? Debt. Direct or indirect? You're stuck with it. Domestic or foreign? Until he leaves the country. Short term, intermediate term, or infinity? Speculative. Forget it. Nobody wants to buy. So now, what I hope you... Remember, we're way back. We're looking at the universe way far away. What I hope you see now is that these terms are interchangeable depending on the type of investment. And we're going to now, on Thursday, you don't want to miss Thursday, we're going to focus in. We're going to now get a little closer and look at our overview of the investment alternatives. Overview of investment. Cool? And then we tackle risk versus return. So if you came late or if you want to add to class, come on up because we want to get you in the class. Tell your friends, family members, plenty of room, free beer tomorrow. Okay. Okay, so you need an
I
ad
phone. Yeah.
Okay, can I see your, I'll print it out, or do you want to just make...
I can just...
Okay, and your name is?
Denise.
With one N or two?
With one.
Denise?
Martina.
Okay, and so your ad code is that one right there.
Okay.
You want to take a picture of it?
Yeah, I
can just take it. The very first one.
Thank you.
Okay, got it?
I came in late.
Okay, your name is?
Align Lobato.
How do you say the first one?
Align.
Align.
Yeah,
I can do that. Okay. Arturo and last name? Gonzalez. Okay, got that. Gonzalez. And you want me to write down? Let me write down. 607-792-03.
Also, I'm
going to need another one for the next. Oh, cool. I'm going to give it to you right now. Okay. Thank you.
Question real quick. Do you still have space in your next class?
Yeah.
You do? How do I add that?
Just show up and I'll give you that.
Oh, shit, for real?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Okay. Do you what's your name? Maria
Lopez.
Oh, Maribel. Lopez. And you got you want me to have your piece of paper I can write the
I can take
okay.
a picture.
It's this one right there. How does it look? Number 3. I can take a better picture. Make sure you do number 3. Don't do 3, 4, 2, 4.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Oh, okay, gotcha. There we go. Okay, excellent. Okay. Your name is? Velasquez with a Z or an S? S and Z at the end. Okay. Okay, number 4.
No.
Don't do anybody else's, okay? Okay. Okay, adding?
No.
For 123.
Yeah.
And your name is?
Andrea Reyes.
Okay. Huh. All done. Did you get a handout?
Okay.
Matthew.
Seventh class. Is this accessible online, the PowerPoint?
Yeah, everything.
Okay.
Everything. And if you want to take it online, we can move you over to online after.
No, I was wondering if I can get it home, but it's on your.
Everything's online. Wonderful best practices. No, you don't need the book. Listen to the first. You missed the first few. It's going to be. Whoa!
I thought I turned this off.